so glad that I know that I know who Jesus is. Come on, put your hands together and praise the Lord. Will you just stand to your feet? Sound man, if you take some of the bass out and give a few more highs in there, you take some of the bass out. He's sweet, I know. Oh, he. I know storm clouds may rise, strong wind they may blow. Oh, remember that one? Help me sing it. Wherever I go, what are you going to tell them? That I have found a Savior. Oh, come on, clap your hands for the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How we honor and bless the name of God for this another glorious privilege and a marvelous opportunity to not only be alive, but to be in worship one more time. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm glad to be in church today. Tell somebody else, I'm glad to be in worship today. Tell them, I don't know what you've come to do, but I've come to clap my hand. I've come to stomp my feet. I've come to leap for joy. We are celebrating 31 years of pastoral ministry of Dr. D.Z. Cofield. Can we get back up on our feet one more time and just praise the Lord? Come on, everybody. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Come on, for about 30 seconds. Give me about 30 seconds of celebration. Come on, give me about 30 seconds. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I do not need to tell you that you have one of the best preachers in the world. Pastor Cofield blessed us on Wednesday night in our National Baptist Convention late night services. And we all left Montgomery saying one more round. Yes, sir. One more round. He closed with that great illustration and story. And all across America, Christian Baptist believers are saying one more round. Look at your neighbor and tell them one more round. Amen. Thank God for him. I thank God for the impact that he has not only here in the city of Houston, but in my life. Amen. I grew up without any brothers, and when the Lord connected me and Cofield, I just felt honored. I thanked the Lord. I said, Lord, what took you so long to give me a brother? Amen. And I let people know I'm glad to be. Look at somebody and tell them, iron sharpens iron. Come on, don't be scared to say it. Look at somebody there. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. Every time I'm around him, Every time I'm on the phone with him, anytime we're communicating digitally or electronically through email or text message, I'm being sharpened. I am the beneficiary of this friendship and this brotherhood. And I want to thank you, Pastor. I want to thank you for all that you have poured, not only into the sweet members of Good Hope, but into your brother. Can we give him one more thunderous applause? And then I want to celebrate my sister, the leading lady of this congregation, Sister Tori Kofia. Will y'all stand up and give Sister Tori a hand? Y'all, I know I'm having you to stand up. Come on, just amen. 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 Tori, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for being my sister. Amen. She's a wonderful, wonderful helpmeet to Pastor. She came in the back after the first service, and she had Google Eyes on. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And she looked like she had saw DZ for the first time. And she was all over him. I said, well, we got to go to church, y'all. Amen. But it is so good to see her. And to all of you, Bill, thank you so much. Will y'all give Bill a hand? He's a good brother. All of the interns, Cameron. And I'm just fascinated. I'm fascinated with the music ministry at Good Hope. I'm just going to let y'all know, brother. I go all over this country, but Good Hope, I'm sorry. Good Hope. Everybody say Good Hope. Good Hope. I was at New Hope the other week. It was still in my head. But Good Hope has the best music ministry. Thank y'all. I watch y'all every Sunday. I watch y'all every Sunday. Because I glean and I grow. Amen. And if you look at Good Hope's music ministry, it'll heighten your expectations for your own music ministry. It's a first class music ministry, and I thank God for you. Someone say 31 years. Amen. 31 years. And I wonder what keeps a preacher coming back to the same pulpit Sunday in and Sunday out for 31 years. I think it's in this text today. Will you stand with me one more time for the reading of the Word of God? Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. There are only two verses that I want to lift for your hearing, and I hope that the Lord will touch me in a special way to be a blessing to this preacher and to this church. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. If you have it, say amen. It reads, O Lord, you misled me, and I allowed myself to be misled. You are stronger than I am, and you overpower me. Now I am mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. When I speak, the words burst out. Violence and destruction, I shout. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. But if I say, I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name. His word burns like a fire shut up in my bones. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I want to preach this morning, the second worship from the sermon subject, Fire in My Bones. fire in my bones. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, the preacher's preaching this morning from the sermon subject, fire in my bones. Amen. Fire in my bones. Today, beloved, I'd like to begin my message by saying there is something that weighs heavily on every true preacher's heart, and it's called the burden of preaching. Preaching, brothers and sisters, is not merely a profession. It's not a platform, Tori, for personal opinions or a stage bill for rhetorical display. Preaching is a burden. And the reason I say it's a burden is because it's a divine compulsion, a spiritual mandate that will not let Cage the preacher rest until he or she surrenders to the act of preaching. The old preachers used to say, and some of you may remember, I didn't choose preaching, preaching chose me. And if you've ever been truly called by God to preach the gospel, then you know that you can't quit even when you want to quit. Every preacher that I've ever been associated with has at one time or another felt like throwing in the towel. Preachers, I've known preachers who didn't want to go back to the pulpit because of their ministerial experiences. They wanted to quit, but you can't quit even when you want to quit. Somebody shout, you can't quit. And I say this because there are seasons when the message cuts so deep, the rejection is so real, and the results seem so invisible that quitting would be easier than continuing. But when God calls you to preach, he doesn't ask for volunteers. I've come to tell you today that God drafts soldiers. Three giants of the pulpit described the burden of preaching. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, if you can do anything else, do it. If you can stay out of the ministry, stay out of the ministry. And he said this because he knew that preaching isn't an option. It's an obligation when you are truly called by God. Dr. Gardner C. Taylor, the pastor of the church in Brooklyn, often called the Dean of American Preaching, declared preaching ought to be like thunder, both terrifying and compelling. And Dr. Taylor said this and saw preaching as both divine fire and human fragility. The late Dr. E.V. Hill of Mount Zion Church in Los Angeles once said at a preaching conference, God called me to preach, and I've never been able to shake it. Even when I wanted to quit, something kept burning inside of me. Lord. That's the burden, church, Jeremiah felt. And it's the same fire burning in the bones of every God-called preacher today. The burden of preaching is not unique to Jeremiah. It's been felt by many. When you go through the pages of scripture, when you think about Moses protested preaching. He told the Lord, I'm slow to speech. I can't talk. But God still sent him to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Isaiah cried, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Yet God purified his lips and said, go. Jonah ran in the opposite direction, but God's word tracked him down. How many of you know God will track you down? Paul confessed, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Why did they say this? They all felt that same fire, the unrelenting burden that made silence impossible. And now in Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 9, we peer into the soul of a weary prophet who tried to walk away, but he couldn't. Jeremiah, brothers and sisters, known as the weeping prophet. Everybody say the weeping prophet. He ministered during dark days leading up to Judah's fall. His preaching, you need to understand, was unpopular preaching. His audience was unresponsive and his message was unwelcoming. Chapter 20 gives us an honest, gut-wrenching picture of his internal conflict. Listen to the words of Jeremiah. Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I am. I can't fight with you. And you prevailed over me. I said, I will not make mention of you again. I won't speak anymore in your name. But your word was in my heart, shut up like a fire in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not say. Jeremiah feels trapped, called to preach a message that brings pain and not applause. You know, we're living in a day and time where preachers are looking for applause from the people. But Jeremiah feels deceived. He feels defeated and deflated. But still, he cannot stop. Why? Because God's word was a fire in his bone. Jeremiah shows us that preaching comes with real, raw struggle. And I want to say to you today, don't you ever think for one iota, 1 minute, that your pastor doesn't have struggles with the burden of preaching. Do I have a witness here? Listen to Jeremiah one more time. Jeremiah says, oh Lord, you have deceived me. That's not light language. It expresses a spiritual crisis. He expects one outcome, God's favor, people's repentance, but experience rejection and scorn. He didn't anticipate imprisonment. He didn't foresee mockery. Talk back to me, somebody. He felt misled, but never truly abandoned by God. And can I just talk to my brother for a minute and say there will be days when preaching and the preacher will feel used up.
Yes, sir.
There are days when your pastor feels like he's unheard. There are days, I know you don't have to tell me because I'm a preacher. Amen. There are days when he will feel undervalued. You may even question Cofield the call sometimes, but the struggle doesn't mean you're not called. It means that you are. Y'all ought to help me preach today. Jeremiah wasn't preaching preachers prosperity. Cofield is not a prosperity pimp. I thought y'all would shout right there. You don't have to worry about him shaking you up and turning you upside down, trying to get your last dollar. Touch your neighbor and tell him our pastor is not a prosperity pimp. And then another thing I like about Cofield, he doesn't give motivational talks on Sunday morning. He comes here proclaiming sometimes the judgment of God. He comes here proclaiming, help me somebody, repentance. He's calling people to repentance. But more importantly, he comes to this pulpit every Sunday preaching the truth of the gospel. And sometimes when you preach the truth, sometimes when you preach the judgment of God, and sometimes when you preach repentance, you're going to lose some folk. Can I talk to somebody just a little while? Because true preaching truth will make you a target. Are y'all going to help me here? I said he doesn't preach prosperity. He doesn't give motivational speeches. He proclaims judgment, repentance, and truth. And truth sometimes costs your friends freedom and favor. Preaching truth will make you a target. The burden isn't just to speak. It's to speak, watch this church, what thus said the Lord. Can I say this to you this morning, Good Hope? In a world of itching ears, God is still looking for voices who will declare his truth without compromise. Can I tell you something? I am so sick and tired of compromising preachers. I am so sick and tired of name it and claim it preachers. I am so sick and tired of if you want it, step on it, preachers. I wish I had somebody here. God is looking for voices who will declare his truth. So in the text, Jeremiah tried to quit. He said, I will not make mention of you anymore. But he says, the word wouldn't let me go. You wonder why Cofield comes here Sunday in and Sunday out and teaches week in and week out. It's because the word won't let him go. There are times when he doesn't feel like it, but the word won't let him go. Jeremiah attempted to suppress the word, wanted to retreat, resign, remain silent. And guess what? He had every reason, because he had to deal with public ridicule. He had to go through personal suffering and sometimes spiritual exhaustion. But when he tried to quit, the word became like a fire. And can I say to some young preacher today, preachers may try to mute the message, but the burden will burn louder than your silence. True calling is not sustained by applause. Everybody's not going to appreciate the preacher. It's sustained by an inner compulsion. If you can stop preaching and stay stopped, you may have been performing and not proclaiming. Jeremiah said, his word. Everybody shout his word. His word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bone. This is not poetic flair. This is divine possession. God's word consumed Jeremiah's being. The fire wasn't in his mouth. It was in his bones. Y'all ought to help me here. The fire wasn't external. It was internal. He couldn't sit still because something was stirring within. Preachers don't preach because it's easy. We preach because we must. The word will make you restless until it is released. Yes, sir. And I want to tell you this morning, Jeremiah was sustained by divine calling. Are you going to help me? What sustained Jeremiah was not human support, but divine assignment. It was an unstoppable force. He said, I could not stop. In other words, he could not shut up even if he wanted to. The fire forced him to speak. The call, Deborah, outweighed the consequences. And I want you to know this morning, church, what God starts, God can sustain. Is he keeping anybody today? I don't know the call of God on your life, but I want to ask you, is the Lord keeping you today? I want you to know whatever capacity of ministry God has called you to, if God calls you, God will carry you through. When the fire's in your bone, you'll preach in the pulpit or the prison. When the fire's in your bone, you'll preach in the church and in chains. Despite depression, Jeremiah remained faithful. He didn't sugarcoat the burden, but neither did he abandon the call. And this is what Paul meant when he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. This is what Jesus meant when he said, no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I've come to tell you today, the burden of preaching may bend you, but it won't break you, because God is the source of your strength. I'm trying to encourage my friend this morning. In modern world, preaching is more needed now, Cofield, than ever before. Why do you say that, Pastor Green? I'm glad you all are asking good questions. I say it because, brothers and sisters, the world in which we are now preaching, the spiritual landscape is a bleak landscape. All you have to do is look around at all of the mass shootings, and yet there is no repentance. When you look at the political idolatry taking place in Washington, but there is no moral compass. Sometimes we come into full churches, but pulpits are void of sound doctrine. We're dealing, yes, with racial injustice, yet little prophetic outrage. We are living in a generation chasing influence, but not intimacy with God Almighty. And I don't know about you this morning, but what we need is not more motivational speakers. What we need today, is not more self-help gurus. We need more preachers. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, we need more preachers. We need preachers with fire in their bones. We need prophets who will declare truth in love, no matter what the cost might be. And so, beloved, as I hurry on to my close this morning, I close by reminding the pastor of this church, that he had the burden of the gospel to carry. He has the burden to speak when others want to be silent. He has the burden to love when the world is full of hate. He has the burden of weeping for people who mock his messages. He has the burden to lead when we ourselves are weary. He has the burden to call for holiness in a world of unholiness. He has the burden to preach in season and out of season. We preach not because we want to, but because we must. Even when we try to quit, the word won't let us quit. Jeremiah said, I'm tired of going to Good Hope. Jeremiah said, I'm tired of preaching to people that don't love God. I'm tired of preaching to people that won't say amen. I'm tired of preaching to people who are going to hell in a handbasket. I'm tired of preaching to people who talk about me. I'm tired of preaching to people who lie on me. I'm tired of preaching to people who dig ditches for me to fall in. I'm tired of people putting me in pits and burying me alive. He said, I'm going to go home. And when I get home, I'm going to take my preaching robe and hang it in the closet for the last time. I'm going to take my Torah and put it on the desk. I'm going to go in the living room and sit down, and I'm going to write out my resignation letter and tell God, God, I'm not going to preach no more, but I'm going to resign. But you know the story. He said, it's like fire shut up in my bone. Thank God for his fire. Thank God for his preaching. Thank God for his word. Is there any anybody here today? You're glad about God's word. God's word is a lamp unto your feet. God's word is a light unto your pathway. God's word is joy for your sorrow. God's word is hope for your tomorrow. I've got his word. I've got his word. Anybody here, you glad God's preacher gave you his word? Get up on your feet. Tell somebody, I got his word. I've got joy, 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 joy. And this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Keep preaching. Somebody shout, keep preaching. Keep preaching when you're tired. Keep preaching when you feel unappreciated. Keep preaching when people are silent on you. Because God will, God will, God will shake somebody's hand and tell them, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will, God will, God will take care of you. Won't it do it? Won't it do it? Won't it do it? Is it anybody here? You know God will take care of you. You don't mind testifying. Let me hear you say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Somebody shout, 31 years. Keep on preaching. 31 years. Ups and downs. 31 years. Mountains to climb. 31 years. Valleys to go through. 31 years. Trouble in my way. 31 years. I have to cry sometimes. But look at Colville and say, keep on preaching. Come on, keep on preaching. Say it again. Keep on preaching. What is he gonna preach? He died. He died. Anybody here know he died? One Friday, they hung him high. One Friday, they stretched him wide. One Friday, they dropped him low. One Friday, he died. They took him down, laid him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there for 3 long days. But tell somebody, that's not how the story ends. Because somebody shout it. Sunday morning, he got up. Somebody shout, he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And I know who holds my hand. Can you say yeah? Jeremiah said, I wasn't going to talk about him no more. But it was like fire shut up in my bones. Pastor, keep preaching. I said, keep preaching. I know you get tired. I know you get weary. But keep preaching. Because Good Hope needs you. Come on. Come on, Good Hope. Come on, Good Hope. And sound man, turn me up. Come on, turn me up, sound man. Good Hope. Look at your pastor and tell him, Pastor, keep preaching. Because we need you. If ever there was a time we needed D.Z. Cofield, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. I'm being led by the Lord real quickly. Pastor, if you just come to the center of the church right here, and all the leaders of the church, will you just join, come and stand with your pastor? Because he's a powerful preacher. And the devil wants him. The devil Baal wants Cofield out of business. He doesn't like his preaching. He doesn't like his discipleship program. He doesn't like rooted and grounded. The devil is really upset. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him the devil is really upset. The devil is really upset because you have a preacher that's committed. He knows how to unpack the word. And I just want to pray for my brother. Come on, Tori, come. Come, please. Tori, come quickly. I'll be through it in just a minute. When the Lord tells me to pray, I pray. Amen. Heads about, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for your servant, D.Z. Cofield. We thank you for the word that you have deposited in his spirit. We thank you for the people that you have placed him over here in Houston, Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. I ask you to anoint him. I ask you to pour your oil and let your oil run down from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Lord, you've called him for such a time as this. You called him not only to preach to the people, but you called him to preach to preachers. You have deposited a deep word in him, and we are all the beneficiaries of what you have placed in him. And so we want you to be a fence all around him each and every day. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to him. Don't let sickness attack his body. Don't let evil get close to him. And anyone who comes against him, Lord, I pray, Psalms 3:7, that you would save him and that you would smote his enemies on the chin and knock their teeth out of their mouth. That he may continue to be a vessel of honor, that he may continue to pour out so we can be the recipients of your word. Bless Good Hope. Bless them with listening ears and receptive hearts. This is my prayer for this preacher in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.